NPR.
About 30 miles north of Seattle on the Puget Sound, there's this lovely little place called Whidbey Island. Most days, the tranquil sounds of rolling waves and chirping birds make it a quiet escape from the hustle and bustle of the city.
That sounds lovely. It's like a visitor's brochure. These days, though, Greg, from what I understand, things are not so serene there. Residents have been complaining about this ruckus created by these humongous container ships that are anchored off the shore of the island. Scott Chaplin is the mayor of a town called Langley.
I've been on the islands on and off since 2008, and I never recall seeing them there except for maybe one last year. And this year, it's almost, I think since for the last few months, I've never not seen one.
It's rare for these massive container ships to anchor near Whidbey Island. In fact, it's rare for them to anchor at all anywhere on the Puget Sound. Normally, they just pull right up to the port and start unloading their cargo. But the Puget Sound is chock full of container ships right now, and they're like anchored all over the place.
And these ships are enormous. They can be the length of multiple football fields, several stories high, stacked with metal containers from Costco, Apple, you name it. They can also make a lot of noise at night, which has many Whidbey Islanders kind of cranky.
They're absolutely huge. They're so tall that they appear from the shore taller than the islands behind them. So they sort of block the view of the islands behind them.
So what's going on? Why are there all these container ships at Whidbey Island? Well, the island is getting a front row seat to a huge surge in demand for imports. Imports that mostly come from East Asia through West Coast ports. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Greg Rosalsky.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, we tell the story of how the ports got so clogged and what it means for the economy. Also, the very serious story of Greg not being able to get the bike he wants.
Please help me.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Odoo. Odoo is a suite of user-friendly business applications designed to automate, streamline, and simplify every aspect of your business from anywhere at any time. For a free trial, go to odoo.com/indicator. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Capital Group, home of American Funds. Their support helps you say, I can find an investment firm to partner with to help achieve people's goals. Visit capitalgroup.com, American Funds Distributors, Inc.
In the early days of the pandemic, global trade just tanked. It was decimated.
The decline of shipping was so dramatic that American scientists saw this like once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to study what happened to whales in the absence of a constant deluge of vessels. And Stacey, I gotta say, I actually read the study recently, probably because I have too much time on my hands, and it said that the noise the ships make stresses the whales out. And I immediately thought about those poor residents on Whidbey Island who are also getting stressed out by the noise of ships.
And it is not just Whidbey Island that is seeing a traffic jam of massive container ships. It is all up and down the West Coast. In the San Francisco Bay, the traffic jams have gotten so bad that the U.S. Coast Guard has been telling ships not to come into the bay at all.
Robert Bloomerth, he oversees vessel traffic for the Coast Guard in San Francisco, and he says ships have been waiting for days, sometimes over a week, just to come in and drop off their cargo.
It's completely abnormal. We've never had a situation since I've been here where ships have had to wait offshore.
Lars Jensen is the CEO at Vespucci Maritime, and he spent 20 years studying the global container shipping industry.
It is at least in a state of chaos that I don't think it has been in ever since it was invented in 1956.
So 1956 was the year that the first container ship set sail from Newark, New Jersey. And it kind of might be hard to fathom like why that's actually a big deal. I mean, it's just like a ship with containers on it. Like, I mean, literally metal boxes.
But these metal boxes enabled ships to carry dramatically more cargo. And by standardizing shipping practices and using new machines to handle the boxes, shippers were able to dramatically slash the costs and the time it takes to load, unload, and transport the cargo in the metal boxes.
Economists credit these metal boxes with increasing the efficiency of shipping so much that it stitched together the global economy more than anything before it. Literally, like, more than all free trade agreements put together.
Behold the power of the container.
I can't contain myself.
But now that the ports are so clogged and backed up, it's making it more difficult for stores to restock their shelves, manufacturers, car makers, and builders to get the parts they need, and farmers to export their produce.
And not to be too self-centered here, but it's also been making it really hard for me to get a bike. Like, I go to this bike shop, and they tell me the earliest they can get me this bike is 2022.
Wow.
Seriously, 2022, next year.
That's a long wait.
It really is. And because I'm a professional, I complained about this to Robert at the Coast Guard in San Francisco.
I understand where you're coming from. I ordered a new Specialized bike in February, and they said I might not see it till next February.
So
now I'm, you know, waiting and waiting. And so I get it.
Wait, so you don't have any, like, special connections that, you know, you're
no,
like, here you are at the port? Come on.
This unfortunately, I do not.
All right. Well, you know, it was worth a try. But the real question is, how did we get here? So at the beginning of the pandemic, shipping companies started canceling their trips and docking their giant ships. Then the economy rebounded and American consumers unleashed this tidal wave of demand that swept through the country and the shipping industry because they started shifting their spending patterns from, like, services and haircuts and vacations to stuff like patio furniture, outdoor grills, big TV sets, electronics.
New bikes.
Bikes. Stuff that largely comes from China on container ships.
So we've had this, like, historic surge of demand for imports. And at the same time, the pandemic has slowed down the industry's ability to handle all of this new cargo. Not just at the ports, but, you know, at railroads, warehouses, distribution centers, basically everywhere. Containers have been piling up at dockyards, and trains and trucks have been struggling to get them out fast enough.
And then, just to make things that much worse, this March, the Ever Given, one of the largest container ships in the world, got stuck sideways in the Suez Canal in Egypt. That blockage, of course, added greatly to the global shortage of ships and containers and clogged everything up even more.
As if that wasn't enough, a few weeks ago, there was a COVID-19 outbreak at a major port in South China. Lars Jensen, the shipping expert, says that stranded even more ships and containers out at sea and led to another cluster fest in China.
Right now, we are at a point where there is very literally not enough capacity. There are not enough ships. There are not enough containers to move all the cargo we want to move.
With so much shipping capacity bogged down, importers and exporters have been competing for scarce containers and vessels and bidding up the price of shipping. The cost of shipping a container from China or East Asia to the West Coast has tripled since 2019.
These rising shipping costs are contributing to the inflation we keep hearing about. Inflation, of course, is rising prices, and when it costs more to ship stuff, you know, some of that cost gets passed on to consumers.
On top of that, all the clogs at the ports are creating shortages and supply chain disruptions. And with demand really high and supply low or unreliable, that can also lead to price increases. As far as when it might get better, everyone we spoke to said probably not anytime soon. The crazy part of all this is that it's not even considered peak season for the shipping industry yet. That typically starts in August, when American stores start building up their inventories for the back-to-school and holiday seasons.
Stacy, I guess the residents of Whidbey Island are going to have to deal with the nuisance of humongous container ships for at least the foreseeable future.
As will the whales, Greg. As will the whales.
Oh, no. Not the whales.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha. The Indicator's edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.
What happens after a police officer shoots someone who's unarmed? For decades in California, internal affairs investigations, how the police themselves, were secret. Until now. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.